This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Nick, how are you, sir?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. And I wanted to start today with the news coming out of this side of the pond, the latest UK inflation numbers, which fell unexpectedly a lot more than predicted to 1.7%. Then that is the lowest rate in 3.5 years. Petrol prices and lower airfares are the main reason behind the surprise slowdown. But obviously, that's going to have some bearing on what the Bank of England does next month when it makes its next announcement regarding interest rates. They're currently at 5%. The bank made a first cut in August, but decided to hold them last month. But I would have thought with this very low number of 1.7%, which of course, Nick, as you know, is below the Bank of England's target of 2%, it's widely expected now that they will cut interest rates in November.
Yeah. I mean, once you get down into the below twos range, we start, you know, even coming into the conversation of, well, the opposite spectrum is arguably just as scary. You know, the concept of deflation and serious economic, you know, slowdown, perhaps that is a byproduct. You also mentioned, of course, oil prices being down could help that story in a positive way. There is that 1.7%, as you mentioned, though, is below expectations. I know that there was a lot of concern from the Bank of England that, you know, by lowering rates too soon, you know, we could reaccelerate inflation. Well, today's report, as you just mentioned, solidified that rate cuts are probably coming because, you know, now we're 1.7. That's well below 2%. And forecasts, I believe, for today were 1.9, if I'm correct on that. And, you know, so you had a big slide in inflation, whether that be from, you know, oil prices being down or perhaps just a bit more of consumer slowing in the UK. You know, we've seen that be a theme for the last few years. And when we compare that to, you know, US inflation here, Johnny, I mean, US inflation has come down too, but UK inflation below two is, you know, signaling the need for rate cuts is more strong now. You know, before it was sort of a debate, controversial rate cuts. This sort of solidifies, okay, you're not only at target, you're below target now. Now we've got to start the process so that you don't get, you know, behind the curve in a different way. You know, the economy could really start to hurt if you, you know, don't relieve some over tightened circumstances sooner. And it's slightly different from the US, where the US has seen an uptick in inflation, an uptick in jobs. You know, the UK is looking like it's ready for those rate cuts to start coming.
And Nick, it does beg the question whether the Bank of England has actually taken too long to cut rates, because as we all know, they took far too long to raise them and had a lot of criticism. Now we're in a situation where we're below target here in the UK as far as the inflation rate goes, and you've got to be very careful that you hit the right balance.
Yeah, and this is the tricky thing, Johnny. In a second, we're going to talk about Trump and Powell comments. But the reason I bring that up now is that similar to the US drama about, you know, oh, we should have done this and could have done this. And this is the difficulty of this stuff, is we don't know what we don't know until it happens. But as you pointed out, perhaps the side that was saying, you know, hey, rate cuts sooner are okay, there's always that drama about when rate cuts, how soon. But it's a difficult thing to call out whether or not this inflation was coming down and going to stay down with rate cuts, or if it was coming down and would reaccelerate quickly. So that's the difficulty of this conversation. That being said, there are many indicators that the situation in the UK has been a difficult one for a long time. The cost of living in the UK is especially difficult when compared to places like the US, where at least wages have gone up to a degree. The cost of living is still worsened in recent years in the US, but not nearly as bad as some other places, for example, the UK. So I think that the conversation about rate cuts, knowing the situation of the UK for the last 10 years, has been tricky, with the Greece situation and the Brexit situation and all of the different events that have, you know, hurt the story there. That is the big conversation of, you know, perhaps rate cuts should have been a little bit more lenient.
It also begs the question, why on earth did Rishi Sunak, the former prime minister, not wait longer to call the election when we have now a rate of inflation which a lot of people can live with? Nick, you mentioned Trump. He's had quite a lot to say about Jerome Powell over the last 24 hours.
Yes, he has. And again, all of this conversation about politics and the, of course, the central banking thing is, you know, a lot of times the central bank will like to, you know, claim operating under the guise of no influence by politics. But at the end of the day, we all have some degree of bias and opinions and preferences. And so do people who make these policy decisions in the UK and the US and everywhere. That being said, Trump was a bit critical here of Powell yesterday when he was speaking. He basically said that he thinks that Jerome Powell has the easiest job in Washington, which regardless of what you think of Trump, I'm going to go ahead and say that I disagree with that. I think it's a very difficult job because no matter what you do, you've got everybody angry at you when you're the Fed chairman. But the point there is that Trump also kind of mentioned wanting to have a greater say to a degree as the president on what happens with interest rates. And that is a in standard political land, which Trump notoriously breaks the rules and barriers there, that's a big no-no, right? Because the Fed is supposed to be this bipartisan, you know, third-party thing that's not Republican or Democrat. It's just a entity that tries to keep, you know, employment maximum and inflation cool. So that was a little bit of a spooking thing to the market because, again, if the president had the ability to cut rates or hike rates, you know, most presidents are going to probably take that opportunity to reduce, you know, rates to improve their circumstance. So it's kind of the idea behind the Fed is to be third party so that they are not operating under political motives. But that was a big scare. You know, there was another thing, Johnny, that was headlined yesterday, which was this, some of the restriction conversations about chip manufacturing and exports from the United States, which of course the US leads that the exports in the world of chips. So does China and Taiwan. They're also massive exporters. But the US economy and stock market is heavily built on the foundation right now of companies like NVIDIA and AMD, Qualcomm, Broadcom, these companies that are pumping out chips to the world. And this talk of restriction in any way, regulation in any way that hurts this story for those companies can easily spook the market. Again, as I mentioned, sort of built on it. Yesterday, we saw the NASDAQ down, you know, over 1% and S&P down. Of course, all of the NASDAQ down heavily simply because of its heavy exposure to technology and specifically those chip stories. We've talked about NVIDIA, I don't even know how many times on this podcast, Johnny, at least three times, you know, but probably more like 3,000 times. But the point is the US stock market swung yesterday pretty heavily on that. And it really does show the impact as we talk about whether it be UK, US, elections do have a lot of question marks and uncertainties that come with it that can change stories, whether it be the semiconductor world, whether it be, you know, tariffs on imported goods, whether it be decisions on Brexit. It just shows how important the policymakers can impact the charts, really.
Of course, the election less than 3 weeks away. In terms of the oil price and the situation in the Middle East, it looks at this stage as though Israel has come to some sort of agreement with Joe Biden that they're not going to attack any oil refineries or nuclear installations, at least not before the election, because they don't want to be seen as affecting the election result. And that, of course, has had an effect on the oil price. There are other reasons for it, of course. We're now seeing Brent crude at around $74 a barrel, so a lot lower than those peaks of about 80 or so a couple of weeks ago. That's taken the pressure off a bit as well, hasn't it, in terms of possible inflation over the next few weeks. But that's another factor where we're gearing up for the election.
And you know, Johnny, that's got to be one of the weirdest ones that we've discussed today. If you think about that line of thought, wait for some sort of retaliation until after the election so that doesn't, you know, impact the election. That's such a, if you just take it from a human's perspective, you're like, that is such a strange, you know, thing. But that's the world we live in, right? People would accuse that as being political and everything is controversial. Everything is a debate on whether or not things were right or wrong. But yeah, I mean, that is a factor, right? We've got an election 3 weeks away and inflation, oil prices, et cetera, all those things are going to impact the way people are feeling. You got to think literally people who are filling up the tank the week of the election might feel better or worse and it could sway votes. It's such a strange world we live in that regard.
And you have this strange system, unlike us here in the UK, where you have this period of purgatory after the end of the election and sort of another 2 months of Joe Biden's presidency, regardless that either Harris or Trump will be the next president, which we find quite strange over here.
It is a bit strange. It's definitely, you know, because I've lived in it, I don't feel that anything other than that. But from an outsider's perspective, I can see how that is just very strange. You know, you won. There's no change of power for a suspended period of time. You know, it's one of those things. It's always a volatile time. And I will say, Johnny, there's one thing that we need to discuss, which is the post-election process as well. I know we're going to talk more about this as we get closer and right after the election. But, you know, I imagine that some of the clouds will roll away regardless of who wins the election. Because what I mean by clouds are simply the uncertainties. Whether you get Harris, whether you get Trump, people are uncertain about that circumstance. When that changes, when you know one or the other, at least you have some knowns. Right now, you just have unlimited unknowns.
I'm not sure I can agree with you there, Nick. And that's down to one thing and one thing only: election fraud talk after the result, assuming we get a result. If it's very, very close, I think markets will be a bit spooked. I wish I shared your optimism.
That's actually a great point, though, Johnny, because again, last time around, that actually did cause additional uncertainty following the election. I guess my assumption was that there would be a peaceful pass of power. Unfortunately, in today's age, we can't always assume such things, but one can hope, right? So we'll, of course, regardless of what happens, Johnny, we'll be here covering all of it on the podcast and doing our best just to weigh, you know, all those uncertainties.
Okay, Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.